behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
And I'm Ben.
Ben, today we're going to talk about electric cars. We're going to talk about them in a different way.
Yeah, we have talked about electric cars in detail, and we touched on various things about the vehicles. What's their efficiency? How are they for the environment? But now we're going to talk about something that might be much more interesting to some of our fans.
Yeah, probably. And this is the whole reason that this article caught my attention. It's from Popular Science, and we're going to talk about which electric car is the fastest, but we're going to gauge that based on 0 to 60 times. And this is strange because it's not really the way that electric cars have been advertised or sold to us,
right?
Typically, not in the past anyways. Maybe in the future they will be, you know, once things kind of pick up with these things a bit more. And there's a clear standout on our list as number one. I think we're going to count down, how many is it, 12 maybe?
Yeah, we're at about 12.
We'll count down 12 up to number one, the fastest car.
Sure.
From 12 to 1.
Now, let's say one other thing here, not to roll over you, but the 0 to 60 mile per hour measurement is sort of weird for electric cars. You don't hear it often. You hear like top speed or you hear range, but.
Well, yeah. I'm going to interrupt you again because primarily what I'm hearing is green, eco-friendly, it's an energy conscious decision and so on, right? I don't really even hear top speeds and all that stuff. I mean, I know that they say that they're safe for highway use and they're fine around the city, et cetera, et cetera. But, mostly you hear about the responsible end of it, the low impact end of it, this is a good thing to do for the environment.
Yes. So people aren't buying these vehicles for performance, as much as for, peace of mind. But that all depends, Scott, on whether you can buy one.
These are all electric cars that are available for sale here in the United States or will be available for sale here in the United States soon. You know, some of them are on their way, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So we'll talk about a few that are out there kind of on the horizon at this point. But for the most part, I got to tell you, I wasn't really blown away by this whole list.
Yeah, and I think it's fair for us to manage expectations at the beginning. The electric cars just aren't going to have the same numbers, 0 to 60, that a lot of conventional vehicles will.
And rightfully so. That's not what they're intended for necessarily.
Right.
But we have heard, and this was a big selling point in these things, is that all of the torque is available immediately.
That's true.
You don't have to ramp up to it. You know, when we see stats for cars that say X number of horsepower available at this RPM?
Uh-huh.
Well, as soon as you step on that pedal, that's when all of the torque is available from the electric motor. So you would think that these things would have really fast, you know, incredibly quick acceleration. You would think. You'd be able to get up to top speed almost as fast as you wanted, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really work that way. I mean, there's other things at play. So, I don't know. When we get to this list, you'll understand what I mean, but you know, thinking back even to the late 1980s when, you know, an internal combustion engine powered vehicle, if it was getting, you know, to 60 miles per hour in about 6 seconds, you were really flying. I mean, that was really fast.
Right. Yeah.
So this list, as we start out here, it's going to be a little bit, I don't want to say upsetting. It's going to be a little bit,
underwhelming.
Yeah. Underwhelming is a better word. Yeah. I guess so. And I do want to tell you one thing that, you know, just as we start here, I've got a sidebar that I think I want to go off on before we even talk about this, the countdown itself, because the countdown will go pretty quick.
Right. Yeah. We were kind of alluding to this when we said, if you can buy an electric car.
Yeah. And that's one, you know, I was taking that a different way when you said that, you know, about the cars that weren't available yet. But maybe I'm thinking more like, how should electric cars be sold to us? Like, why aren't they marketed this way? Why, why aren't they playing up some of these performance aspects of some of these things if they're there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can kind of set this up in a way that makes sense. How about that? I'll kind of walk through this article and it'll become more clear to you as we go on here.
Awesome.
Okay. Right. So, the story goes like this, and I'm just summarizing this article. Okay. It's pretty short. A car buyer walks into a dealership and they're pretty well educated about like the electric car that he or she wants to buy, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've done their online research, due diligence, all that, right? So they walk in and the salesperson then tries to convince him or her that they don't want that car at all. And this is unusual. I would think that they would push them towards that because that's kind of the big marketing angle right now, right?
Yeah.
Well, the salesperson is going to steer them towards a gasoline powered car in most cases. Not every case, of course, but there are actually hundreds of cases like this that have been reported on Facebook pages or, you know, social media that say that customers walk in, you know, fully expecting to walk out with a Nissan Leaf or, you know, a Chevy Volt or something like that. And they instead get steered towards like a Nissan Sentra or a Chevy Cruze instead by the salesperson.
I wonder why.
Well, the reason is, the salesperson will actually say things like, they'll upplay the downsides of this whole thing. So they'll say like, well, you know, you may end up stranded on the side of the road and not have anywhere to charge the thing. You know, that battery that has to be replaced every 5 years is really, really expensive. So the salespeople are talking people out of them.
The warranty only covers X number of components, not Y.
Exactly right. And here's the reason. The question is, why are the salespeople doing this? Why would they steer them away from, you know, these electric cars? Well, it takes a lot longer to sell a plug-in electric car today than it does a regular gasoline or diesel-powered vehicle. And again, this goes to kind of, this article points to another article that they wrote that says that every salesperson's mission is to close the deal today at maximum profit with minimum time invested, right? That's what it all comes down to. You try to, the most bang for their buck, I guess, right? And on the other side. So selling a plug-in car takes 3 to 5 times as long for the dealer as does selling a gasoline-powered car because of all the questions and answers and things that have to go back and forth between the salesperson and the person buying the vehicle. It takes that much longer. So it requires explanation, education, training, and all the other stuff that goes along with selling that car, whether it's vehicle prep time, whatever. So it takes 3 to 5 times as long to sell an electric car to a customer than a standard vehicle.
So you could make 3 to 5 commissions on a standard car sale in the time it would take you to make one commission on an electric vehicle.
You've got it exactly right. That's the that's what this all boils down to. And you know, this is a thing that you know, they're saying that if they would set up a new dealership model so that if you sell an electric car to an individual that comes in, you know, a buyer, that it would be worth it for the dealership or for the salesperson to sell that vehicle, you know, with the appropriate amount of compensation for them, for him or her.
Sure.
So, and this is like a problem you can't overcome because then the price of the car goes up because, you know, the commission price would have to be that much more. It'd have to be 3 to 5 times the amount.
Right. How do you incentivize this? I guess you could just have all of the other options removed and only sell electric vehicles at a specific dealership.
Well, yeah, you're right. They're motivated by this compensation. But as far as, you know, the author of this article is concerned, as far as they know, not a single automaker has structured the compensation to make sense that way. They haven't, they haven't done it that way. The exceptions to this are, dealerships. I think there's a couple of dealerships out in California where they have, dedicated people for plug-in hybrid sales because they have just a great volume of people coming in. But as you go across the United States, you don't have that kind of demand. It's not,
that's true.
It's not there in Nebraska. It's not there in Ohio. It's not there in Florida. So they don't train people as, you know, as thoroughly in electric vehicle sales as they would in California at that specific location because they know they're going to have that volume of customers come in and they have, you know, pure experts on hand to be able to answer everything quickly and to be done with the deal fast. And then it makes perfect sense.
And we'll probably see dealerships continue to evolve to make room for electric vehicles in the marketplace. Listeners, if you tuned into our previous episode, we discussed the controversy surrounding Tesla dealerships, right?
Yeah,
or if
right.
Dealership is the right word, maybe store is a better one.
Storefront, yeah, that's what it is, basically.
Yeah, and one open down the street from us.
Yeah, a retail location right down down the road inside the mall, which we still have to go check it out.
Yeah,
it's brand new, so we're gonna get over there, I'm sure. It's an unusual model, so I can't wait to go see it. I really am excited about it, and I wonder if they would offer us a test drive.
I was wondering too. I think there's a judgment call there. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rent a tuxedo so I look like I just always wear a tuxedo. And I'm going to see if I can get some of our coworkers to like play my entourage and do a British accent because that's classy.
Yeah, I see nothing wrong with this plan so far.
What I like is how straightforward it is.
Yeah, it's so easy. So easy and straightforward. There's no deception going on, right?
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I can't see one thing that could go wrong with that.
Pretending to be maybe a British aristocrat.
Maybe you could wear a monocle and talk like the penguin.
Oh, you got to have a monocle, Scott. It's a Tesla dealership. Hey, let's go ahead and kick off our list then.
Okay.
All right. So we have, starting at number 12, going to number 1, the Mitsubishi iMIEV.
Yeah. You know, they actually say iMIEV.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I thought,
I feel weird saying it.
Now, I've looked at a bunch of reviews, and they say iMIEV.
iMIEV,
which
yeah.
is weird, but all the rest of them go with the iMIEV type.
I want to say it as individual letters just because iMIEV sounds, I don't know, weird.
Yeah, it does sound weird. It's like a made-up word.
Call me old-fashioned. The Mitsubishi, however, is not old-fashioned. It can go 0 to 60 in 15 seconds.
15 seconds. Now, okay. I was watching a review of this recently, and that's the only reason I was watching it was to get the pronunciation of the name of this thing down, right?
iMIEV.
So iMIEV, right? If yeah, it does sound it sounds a little bit Russian, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like a Russian person,
which is weird from a Mitsubishi, right? But I was watching, and the person doing the review, they're just trying to get the car up to 30 miles per hour. That was it, and it was like 7 seconds or something like that, and it was like. It was almost a chore to get it up to that speed. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not anything that you would buy for its power, for its acceleration, for its handling. It's just not that kind of vehicle. But it's a reasonable entry level vehicle for this type of thing. If you want an electric vehicle with four doors and four seats and
four wheels,
yeah, four wheels, not much more. It's about 20. I looked at the MSRP on all of these.
Yeah,
about 23,000.
It's $5 under 23,000.
Oh, is it?
$22,995.
I stand corrected. Okay, so even better deal than I thought. You can save some money for parking or
go
something.
Go to Subway, yeah.
Yeah.
number 11, we've got the Smart Electric Drive. This is a faster time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, slightly faster at about 11 and a half seconds. And again, this one MSRP is for about $26,000, but this is the smallest or shortest plug-in electric car that you can purchase in the United States. It's very, very tiny,
mm-hmm.
Very, very efficient, and they say that this one handles a lot better than the gasoline-powered version.
Yes, that's true, and it might seem odd to some of you listening out there, but here's the scoop, you guys. In reviews, the Smart Electric consistently ranks higher than the conventional Smart.
Yeah, and they call it jerky. Now, This takes me back to a note here, and I don't have this email in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Someone wrote in one time telling us that Smart vehicles, when they test drove them, I think it was a used Smart vehicle.
Yeah.
Something about it being insanely jerky between gears. And I can't verify that one bit because I've never driven in a Smart vehicle. I had a boss that bought one right after I left Michigan. But he was a huge fan of the thing, I know, and he had just taken delivery and he still loved it even when I talked to him. After he had the vehicle, but he didn't mention anything about it being jerky between gears or anything like that. I've never heard it from anybody else until I read this article and that previous email.
Yeah.
So there's at least a couple of cases where people say that it doesn't have the smoothest ride.
Mm-hmm.
But
which I could see.
I guess this electric drive vehicle they've smoothed it out quite a bit. And
yeah.
Well, 11 and a half seconds. That's not blistering speed by any means.
No, and it's a tie, actually, between the next on our list, the Nissan Leaf,
yeah.
which also goes 11 and a half in a 0 to 60.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so 11 and a half seconds, 0 to 60, $29,000, ballpark, you know, right around there for starting price for
getting
that one.
Pricey.
Yeah, it's getting a little more expensive. The range is about, I think they said 76 miles was the range.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. What, 110 horsepower? Kind of a bigger vehicle. I mean, it's a hatchback.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the same size as my Honda Civic. About the same size as a Prius, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. 11 and a half seconds, that's not really all that impressive, but then when you consider that it's a pretty big vehicle, maybe that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think the weight to power ratio has a lot to do with it, just the size of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in its defense, a lot of people are fans of the Leaf, but they're not people who are looking for a high-performance vehicle.
That's true. It's a commuter car, a city car for them, something that they just want to get to and from work and then plug it, you know, in at night in the garage, and that's good enough. We've talked about this so many times about, you know, the different uses for vehicles, and some people can use them because it absolutely meets their needs, and others, there's just no way. People that take long road trips, people that take long weekend trips, it would be very difficult right now be able to make a long trip in a vehicle like this.
That is true. What do you think of next on our list, the Ford Focus Electric?
It's not bad. It's moving up here. 10.4 seconds, 0 to 60.
Yeah, the price is moving up, too. It's $29,170.
Yeah. Oh, 29. I've got, I found $35,000.
You found 35?
35. Yeah, that's right. So somewhere between 29 and 35.
35 is probably more accurate.
I don't know. Their prices are coming down on these things. So maybe I was looking at an old number, which, strangely enough, would be higher.
Yeah, that's true.
As technology becomes better, they seem to lower it. Okay, so they say the gasoline Focus is already, you know, widely praised, that, you know, people really enjoy the handling on that. And they say that, you know, the electric model is really no different in that respect. You know, it's still a well-handling vehicle that, I think people are going to like it.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Now, I'm not particularly wild about the Ford Focus in general.
I have seen zero Ford Focus electric vehicles on the road. That's I don't know if they're even out there yet or not, but I have seen none of these in traffic yet.
You have seen approximately none.
But I've seen a bunch of Leafs and, you know, some of these other vehicles. I have seen several of them on the road, but so far, no Ford Focus electrics out there yet, at least in Atlanta.
All right. Now, next on our list is something that I like a little bit better, and I think you might as well. So let's see what you think, listeners. What do you think about the Volkswagen e-Golf?
Mm-hmm. Looks just like the Golf, but the electric version. 0 to 60 in about 10 seconds. That's 10 seconds flat. It's getting better.
Yeah.
We're about, a third of the way through the list, and we're already up to 10 seconds. That's not too shabby, right?
No, not bad.
But the thing is, it's not on sale in the United States. Not yet. I mean, I think they just did the launch for this, overseas, but not here yet. I do like the looks of it. I mean, I love hatchback designs, as you know, and so do you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one looks just like the Golf does now. I think they were talking about launching this car in Berlin in 2014, early 2014. So it's already over there, already driving around, but we just don't have it here yet. Soon, maybe.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. And we mentioned the price, right?
Not yet.
Do you want to hit them with it? $36,200. That's the MSRP on this one, so a little bit pricey. I mean, especially when I think the base Golf is a lot cheaper.
Yeah, the base Golf is something like 18 or something.
So this may be one of those cases where you have to bring out the old calculator and figure out, you know, how much you're going to be saving on fuel and how long it's going to take to compensate for that.
Oh man, what a dangerous question. That has broken some people's hearts.
Yes, it really has. And, fuel prices are really low right now here in the States. So lower than they have been in many, many years. This could really cut into somebody's, plans, I guess, you know, if they were trying to do that calculation and figure out what it was based on, you know, fuel when it was $4 a gallon. Now it's down to about $2.40-something here. So it makes a big, big difference in how long it takes to pay off that vehicle.
Do you watch Saturday Night Live by any chance?
I do.
Okay, so they had a great joke recently. You and I are recording this on a Monday. So over the past weekend, they had this great joke about the price of oil going down, and they say oil is set to go below $60 a barrel. It's like, at that price, that's also a good deal on barrels. Do you remember that?
No, I didn't catch this weekend, so I missed the one that you're talking about, but
it is true that the lowering cost of gas has a big effect on this market in particular. Mm-hmm. Now let's get a little bit fancier.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's move to number 7, and that is the Fiat 500e. So that E there at the end, that's the difference, the electric. Mm-hmm. And 9.1 seconds, 0 to 60.
Our first under 10 seconds acceleration.
Yeah, 9.1 seconds, 0 to 60. Oh, boy, again, $32,600 is the MSRP on this vehicle. That's a little tiny vehicle, but I guess from what they say, it's a lot of fun to drive. Now, I have never driven a Fiat.
I have not either.
No, but they do look like fun. I know there's some bigger ones as well, but
sure.
We're talking about the 500e. It's not really a huge vehicle or anything like that. It's a small vehicle for $32,600. And they say it's a hoot to drive, whether it's in a straight line or zipping around city streets. But 9.1 seconds, I don't know. Is that, it's getting there, I guess.
Yeah.
That's probably about what you would expect for a comparable
Fiat 500?
Well, a gas-powered Fiat 500.
Yeah. I can definitely see it. It's just, for the cost, I'm not particularly thrilled, but that's just if we're evaluating it on performance. It is true that the reviews of the Fiat 500e have been pretty positive. People like this vehicle.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's been a good seller for them. And let's move on to number six.
All right.
All right, this is the Honda Fit EV. And this one is also a little bit pricey, $36,600 for a very small car, but it's pretty quick, 0 to 60. It's actually not bad.
Yeah, 8.5 seconds, you guys.
Yes, we're getting there, right? We're getting back into where it would be comfortable to merge with traffic. It'd be comfortable to merge on the highway.
Yeah, it's still better than most compact cars.
Yeah, it's still pretty good. You're right. And Ben, the funny thing about this one is the way they describe it in the little paragraph below, when they say that the best demonstration of the Fit EV we've seen yet hasn't really called for outright acceleration, but there's a limit on how much you can use it while sliding around on a frozen lake. Now, that to describe what's going on there, they had it pitted against like an old, I think a two-stroke Saab.
Yeah.
On a frozen lake somewhere. I don't know why they would pit it against that vehicle in that kind of race, but you know how they do that. They always play up for marketing some reason. I don't know why they would race it on a frozen
Superior
lake.
Superior handling.
Yeah, strange.
Performance and power.
Just a strange way to do it, but 8.5 seconds, 0 to 60 is not bad. I mean, that's comparable to a lot of compact or even subcompact cars.
And now let's talk about something that hasn't come out yet officially. That is the Mercedes-Benz B-Class electric drive. Scott, my friend, we are talking a little under 8 seconds, like just one coarse hair under 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Not bad, but it does sell for about $42,000. That's the base price.
Yeah.
And I think they mentioned this. They mentioned this in relation to another vehicle. If you want to get an idea of what the B-Class electric drive will look like, it's going to look a lot like the BMW i3 does right now, mm-hmm. in size and shape. So if that gives you a perspective of, you know, what this thing will look like once it arrives. Let's go on to number four.
Okay.
Which is the Chevy Spark EV. Now, getting a little lower in price, $26,800 is the MSRP, and it's relatively quick. I mean, I couldn't believe this. When I saw the Spark EV does 0 to 60 in 7.6 seconds, it's moving along pretty good.
Yeah, remember what we said about torque too, because that's a huge part of that speed.
Yeah, there's a surprising fact in this article. You want to go ahead and read it?
Yeah, so this has, not the most impressive power output, but it, like 130, right? Mm-hmm. But it does have 400 pounds feet of torque, which means that it has more pounds feet of torque than a Ferrari 458 Italia.
That's incredible. You know, having all of that torque available immediately, and that pays off in this case, because a 7.6 second sprint to 0 to 60, from 0 to 60, that's pretty quick. I mean,
yeah.
I'm impressed by that. I really am. That's not bad. I'm not crazy about the looks of it personally, but honestly, that's not too bad. Number three on our list is one that we just mentioned a second ago.
Yes.
In relation to the B-Class electric drive from Mercedes. This is the BMW i3 that we compared it in shape and size to. About 7.2 seconds, 0 to 60. Not bad. $41,300 is the MSRP on that one.
Uh-huh.
So it's a little bit pricey, I guess. Pretty expensive, more than the typical sedan would be anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets a lot of attention for its styling.
Yeah, I've noticed that. The carbon fiber plastic chassis, or I should say carbon fiber reinforced plastic chassis, mm-hmm. which you and I are covering on an upcoming episode of Car Stuff.
Yeah, we're talking about that in relation to the Porsche, right? The Porsche mm-hmm. 918 Spyder. So this has some very advanced materials inside it. It's very lightweight, et cetera, but the styling is what gets the attention. And I got to tell you, Ben, I'm not a fan of the styling of the i3. I mean, I've seen a few of them on the road. There's a bunch of them around here in town. And to me, I don't know what the deal is with the different colored panels and everything, but it's just something that it turns me right off. I don't really, it just doesn't look right to me. It's not my thing. I know some people just love it though. Some people think it's the best thing ever. And I bet if I got into one, I would really like it. But, to look at one, I can't stomach it, Ben.
What do you think?
Oh, that's a little overdramatic.
No, I get it. I get it. What do you think about the Toyota RAV4 EV?
Oh, this is not bad. This is 7 seconds. 0 to 60. 7 seconds flat. Not bad. This is pretty good actually for an electric vehicle. And the thing is with the RAV-V that maybe a lot of people don't know is that Tesla was supplying Toyota with the electric powertrain for this vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a deal that was supposed to go on past the end of 2014, but this deal is going to end, at the end of this year. So after 2014, this is no longer going to be produced by Toyota. They thought they were going to continue on with the RAV4 EV platform.
Right.
But they've decided against it. So, you know, Tesla's pulling, well, not, I don't know how it's all working out. If he's pulling out or if they're saying we don't want to use it anymore or there's a contract problem or what, but, either way, the Tesla will not be supplying the RAV4 EV with a powertrain anymore. So it's gone.
Yeah.
So grab one while you can, I guess, because 7 seconds, 0 to 60, that's not bad.
Yeah. And it's got 103-mile range. That's pretty good. I don't know the exact circumstances surrounding this, the end of this deal, but mm-hmm. we do know originally they, both parties have wanted this to go on further. I would say if you are considering buying an electric car, one thing you have to be very frank with yourself about is whether a model is going to continue. I personally would not buy something if I knew it was, you know, a year out from being discontinued.
That's true.
Just because over time, you're going to have more and more issues with it.
Good advice. So I just told people to go out and try to find one, but maybe you're right, Ben. Maybe they should hold back on that one and see where things go, right?
Yeah. Oh, and then there's always for the cheapskates out there, there's always that chance that if you keep your car for 30 years in the United States, you'll get the special license plate and you might be able to flip it as a classic.
Oh my gosh. 30 years on an EV. I wonder, when are we going to get to the point? I wonder when we're going to start seeing that with classic plates on an EV.
Oh man. We're going to feel pretty old when that happens.
I would think so. Yeah. Yeah. But it's, is it 30 years? Maybe it's 25, I think. 25
years. Oh, you're right.
Maybe,
yeah. Yeah.
But still.
Because it does vary by state, but I think here in Georgia, it's 25.
It's, you know what? It's going to come faster than we think.
It is.
It always does. Right. All right. So we've kind of hinted at number one here, Ben. You want to just go ahead and hit him with it?
Yeah. Noel, big hand for our super producer, Noel Brown. Could we get a drum roll? Perfect. And the number one winner, a surprise to nobody, the Tesla Model S.
The Model S Performance.
Yes.
And there's an important distinction there because they do say the Model S Performance. Now, that's the top of the line Tesla Model S right now. So
right.
The price tag on this one, Ben, $105,000 is the base price on that right now, or the MSRP.
Cash.
So that's the that is the cash price. You're right. So. And you know, they say that it's 4.2 seconds, 0 to 60, right? That sounds pretty quick, right?
Yeah, yeah.
On Tesla's website right now, it says 3.2 seconds for the Model S Performance.
I wonder what they tweaked.
I don't know. But the other models, I think they're up in the like 5.5 second range. So still pretty quick. But you know, this one, 3.2 seconds, incredible. And I like the way they describe this, you know, at the end here. They say that if you like that airliner on takeoff feeling on your commute, and I've never heard it described that way, but that's a perfect way to say how an EV feels when it accelerates.
That's pretty apt, yeah. And also, we should point out a couple interesting things about the Model S here. It is the most powerful on this list, and I believe it's the most powerful electric car on sale in the United States.
And it's also the most expensive. So, yeah, this is definitely a record-breaking car in a lot of aspects, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I don't think anybody's really surprised by number one on the list, and if you'd really thought about it, you would probably come to that conclusion yourself. But, you know, as you go back through the other 12, I think there were some surprises in there as far as speeds because, man, I mean, you have to go all the way back to number seven before you get below 10 seconds even. So, they're not necessarily lightning quick by any means, but, they're getting there. I mean, if everything kind of moves the way that Tesla is moving, you know, with his idea to maybe, share platforms like he's done with the RAV4 for Toyota.
Yeah.
And, you know, talks with other manufacturers. If you can get a Tesla platform vehicle that, you know, has another body on it, then you're going to start to see a lot of these 0 to 60 times for a lot of these manufacturers come way down because they've got it right there.
So thank you so much for listening to this episode, you guys. We hope that you enjoyed it. We hope that you found some stats you liked, and we'd love to hear from you if you are an owner of one of these vehicles.
You know, I wish that we had time to go out and really investigate each one of these, like to sit in them, talk to the salespeople, because, you know, this is just a brief snippet and it's somebody else's opinions about, you know, about that specific vehicle. Like it's fun to drive or it handles well or it behaves just like the internal combustion version of that same vehicle. I'd love to be able to do that comparison ourselves and test it out, but it would take weeks and weeks. We could do maybe a show on each one.
That's not a bad idea.
That'd be kind of fun to compare and contrast, you know, electrics versus the internal combustion equivalent to that vehicle and see what we like.
You know, something that's a little bit different while we're just pitching ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to do a video on tanks.
That would be a good idea too. I mean, I've never really been around tanks other than maybe the state fair or something, you know, where they have one parked and you can kind of climb on it and look outside.
Yeah.
But that's about it. You have any experience in tanks?
Not in active tanks, but, you know, growing up a military brat, we got to go around and see decommissioned tanks and hop inside them. And when you're a kid, it's a lot of fun. I hear that the tanks in the UK have a teapot.
A teapot?
For making tea. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. Some sort of heating device for making tea.
Oh, no kidding. That's interesting. I mean, they've got all kinds of, I mean, a teapot, I never would have guessed, but they've got so many different things going on inside there that I would love to see and get my hands on. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we could drive one. If we could drive, do you drive a tank? Do you steer a tank? Do you pilot a tank?
I guess I would say drive it. I'm sure that there is some sort of way we could do it. We should start working on it to see if we can make that our big, New Year's resolution 2015 car stuff. Drive tanks.
Oh, that would be so cool. Maybe two of them. Demolition Derby.
Dude, we could race. Do people race tanks yet?
I think they might. It seems like I've seen that. If nothing else, I've seen the high-speed testing, because some of them are pretty quick. I mean, I've seen them launch themselves in the air.
Yeah.
And they're fast.
And, you know, some use gas turbine engines, which we talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry, we're getting off topic. Before we accidentally launch into a podcast on tank racing, let us know what you think. Visit us on carstuffshow.com to hear every episode we've ever done. We're all over the How Stuff Works YouTube page with our new videos on science of car construction, dream cars, caffeine and exotics, and we have more on the way. But we need your help. What should we cover? Let us know. Our email address is
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.